Perek Yud Zayin Mishnah Gimel. Kana Shel Zaysen, if you have a reed of olives. So what does this mean? The Kat explains that Regilim Hayu, they were accustomed, Litzbar Es HaZaysen B'Ma'ata, they would take their olives and they would gather it up on a ma'atan. What is a ma'atan? It is a utensil that is specifically designed for the olives. And they would put these olives on this utensil in order that they get warm and they get soft. And after a while, they would take it off. They would, you know, turn it over and use this reed to store these olives on it. And when they would remove the olives from this reed, they would check the reed. And if the reed had shamnunis, it had like the fat, the juice from the olives on it, then they knew that the softening, heating process is done, and now they're to be pressed in the oil press. So that was this reed. They would stick the olives onto it, they would wait until it gets warm and moist, and when they took it off, they would feel the reed. If the reed was sticky with, you know, oil fats, then they knew the olives were ready to be, the olives were soft, and they could be pressed now. So the idea here is the Mishnah is coming to teach us that this reed has, you know, what are the laws regarding Shabbos, regarding Muktzah, and what are the laws regarding Tumah as well. So let's see. Im yesh kesher b'rosho, if there's a knot on top of the reed, what does that mean, a knot? So it really means just like, you know, like the reed has like they say here a pekak or an eagle, just like a round, you know, shape at the top of the reed. So then, right. So when they had like this knot on top of the reed, when they removed the olives from the reed, the fat and the oil would gather right at that knot on the reed. So therefore, it was very easy to check if the olives were ready to be put in the press or not. So the point is that if this reed has this, you know, this like, you know, little like bletel, this like little, you know, thing poking out on the top of the reed that gathers the oil, so then it's deemed an actual utensil. And the kabel tumah, it's susceptible to tumah. It's deemed an actual clear utensil, and if it comes in contact with a dead person or a dead animal, it will become tumay. Vimlav, if it's missing this, you know, crucial point, this little like, you know, bump at the end of the reed, the ain makabel tumah, it cannot be makabel tumah, even if it touches a dead body, because we look at it as just a piece of wood, and it loses its name of a kli, and therefore wouldn't be makabel tumah. That's regarding tumah. However, for Shabbos, benkach or benkach, whether it has this, this bletel, this poking out spot at the end, which is like in the shape of a ball, where it doesn't have it. So on Shabbos, nitl b'Shabbos, you could always take it on Shabbos to turn over your olives and to attend to your olives. It's not a problem, because since you're using it for the guf of the, you're using it, you know, for a purpose, it's permitted, and therefore, you know, that would be fine on Shabbos, whether it has this, you know, round ball at the end or not. However, something which is not a utensil at all, yet some kind of element that was not kli at all, then of course, and you can't use it, because then it would be muktzah. Okay. Moving right along, Mishnah Dalet, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol HaKelim, all sorts of utensils that their malacha is for Isser, meaning that normally are used for prohibited things, like a hammer or a screwdriver. So he says, Nitalan, you can actually use them on Shabbos, as long as you do it for, you know, for something which is mutter, use it for permitted usage. Like the hammer to open up the walnuts and, you know, all those kind of cases like we learned in the previous Mishnayos. Chutz, except here's the exception, min hamasa or hagadol. They would have this big saw that they would cut the beams with. Or v'yaseh shel machresha, or this big peg that they had on the plow that they would use to make a furrow in the field. So why are these different than a hammer or a screwdriver? Because these types of utensils, they're big, they're expensive, and the owners are mocked, but they're careful not to use them for nothing but what they normally use them for. Because if you use it as something else, then it's going to break it. You know, a similar example would be Moel's knife, right? A Moel's knife is like a surgeon's knife. He's not going to use it to cut bread or to cut watermelon. So these kind of items, even though you know, they have a usage, you know, to it, since it's muktzamach maschasar and kiss, it's set aside due to its value that you're not going to use it on Shabbos. So then they, even if you wanted to use it for some kind of permitted function to cut open your olives or to open up your walnuts, it's also to touch, to move them on Shabbos because it's muktzamach maschasar and kiss. Okay. Kol hakelim, all utensils that their function is normally for heter. So going back to simple stuff like bowls and spoons. So then you tell them they could be used on Shabbos, which is obvious. The tzorech v'shlo l'tzorech, whether you need it for some kind of need. You have a bowl that you want to eat from. You have a cup that you want to drink from. Or you need it for its place. They're in the way. You have to move it out of the way to get to its place. So of course you could use it on Shabbos. This is just, you know, a simple fact. V'shlo l'tzorech, and even if there's no need for the utensil. For example, you just want to bring it inside the house because if you leave it in the sun, it'll get broken. Or you want to move it into the shed because you're afraid it's going to get stolen. So you're not really using it for any usage. You're just moving it to protect the item. So these kind of items, like simple stuff, like cups and spoons and bowls, since they're actual permitted functions, permitted utensils, you can move them for any kind of purpose at all. However, a utensil, which its normal function is for Isser, for example, like a hammer, so then you can only use it, let's say, to open up the walnuts or to move it out of the way because it's in the way, but just move it for the heck of it, you know, because it's sunny and you don't want it to get ruined or your fridge is going to get stolen, so that's actually prohibited. You can't move it in Shabbos. You can only move it when you're doing it to, you know, open your walnuts, for example, because you have a torech. But just to move it for the sake of the kli itself, because you want to protect the kli, that's aser. So that's the difference between standard utensils and utensils whose normal function is for aser. And then they bring down over here, v'tilta shlo l'tzorech klal. What about you want to move something that there's no purpose at all? You just want to, for no reason at all. That's aser, even by kelim that are heter. Like, I was told in Yeshiva, if you see a shtender and you want to just, you know, move it for the heck of it, you can't. Because you can't just move something for absolutely no reason at all. However, there are opinions that hold that a kli shemlach l'heter, meaning something like a shtender, you could move it even if there's no torah at all. And, you know, there's different opinions. Okay. But our Mishnah's das is that, you can move it even for no reason at all. You can just move it because it's a heter item. Okay, Rabbi Nechemia says, "Ain't yitalon el l'tzorach." He says that even a utensil, which normal function is for heter, like a cup, he says it's also to move it on Shabbos unless you're using it for its guf. So if you have a cup, you want to drink from it. Or you have a knife, you want to cut a piece of bread with it. But if you're not using it for its actual normal usage, then, you know, you want to use it for some kind of other weird function. He says that it's muktzah. Yeah, but we don't pass like that. That's a tremendous stringency to take something which is normally heter and say that you can only use it for the heter purposes. I can only use a cup to drink from it. You know, with a hammer, that yeah, you could only use a hammer for the walnuts because it's not the normal usage. But a cup, of course, you could use it for regular drinking and you could use it for anything you want. And Mechem is going to hold that the cup you can only use for drinking and not for other functions, to put it on your head as a hat or whatever. So he's more stringent, but we don't pass him like him. And even though he's so stringent, he would agree, though, that if you have like a regular cup and you need the place, you can move it for its place. So basically, Ibn Khamis' opinion is that even standard utensils like cups and bowls, you can only use them if you're using them for the normal function, like eating from it. Or you can move them if you need its place, you know, no matter what the case is, if you need to get to that place. But to use a cup as, you know, as a hat, or to have a catch with it, he would hold it's prohibited, but we don't pass it like that, because we hold utensils that are, you know, standard utensils on Shabbos, are permitted to use for anything you want.